We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Show on the air. We're glad you're here. As always, hanging out with us, being a part of the program, taking a listen to us. Thanks so much for joining us here on the program. This portion of the program, by the way, being brought to you by our good friends over there at Cousin Subs, where they've been catering for a long time. You got an event coming up, a sales meeting, something like that in-house. Cousin Subs, not only for you individually, but for you as a group. They can take care of you. All you got to do is go to CousinSubs.com. That's CousinSubs.com, where they believe in better, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Paul Emig, our green and gold analyst, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Paul, how you doing, man?
What's up, Bill? Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. So we were talking a little bit earlier. Aaron Rodgers makes the mention that, hey, if Christian McCaffrey is going to be a guy that's going to be considered for the MVP, maybe Aaron Jones should be as well. What do you make of the comment?
Okay, so first off, I've seen the replies on Twitter, because I know when Joe put up the tease for the day of the show, I was, you know, my Twitter handle was mentioned in there, so I've seen the people who have replied to it, and I've seen a lot of, like, you know, like, LOL, are you kidding me type of stuff. And I think what this is, Bill, is, I mean, I have not done a side-by-side comparison of Aaron Jones and his statistics versus Christian McCaffrey.
McCaffrey overwhelming almost in every category short of touchdown. He is by far exceeding Aaron Jones in many different areas. So just so we're clear on that.
Oh, and that's what I was wondering. So I was going to say, like, I have not seen a side-by-side, and obviously you have. Jones has 14 touchdowns. McCaffrey has, do you know?
11 or 12. He's like one behind him. I mean, he's like one behind him.
Yeah, and I think what you need to start with is you need to say, because we know how difficult it is for a non-quarterback to win the award, you need to start by at least saying, okay, Christian McCaffrey has been an MVP candidate since Cam Newton went down for the year in week two, or I think it was, or week three.
Right.
And Kyle Allen came in, and Christian McCaffrey became the focal point of the Carolina offense. So you need to at least start by saying, how does Aaron Jones measure up to Christian McCaffrey? I think the difference there, though, when you're comparing their numbers, is I would love to see their total touches and their total snaps. I would venture to say, because Aaron Jones is in somewhat of a timeshare with Jamal Williams, and Christian McCaffrey doesn't have that same situation with the Panthers, my first thought is to say, this doesn't mean that Aaron Jones should be an MVP candidate, or at least in a sincere way yet, but you have to at least take into account what he's doing in terms of yards after contact, because Aaron Jones leads the league among running backs in yards after contact, which means the work that he's doing, not just the work of the offensive line. And then also, has he just had fewer opportunities than Christian McCaffrey? But if you've seen a side-by-side, Bill, and it's not really, you know, at least from a raw statistics perspective, if he's not yet in that ballpark with McCaffrey, well, then there's still a ways to go. Now, if Aaron Jones continues on a tear and finishes with 20-some-odd touchdowns and, you know, gets 18 to 20 touches per game over the final six, and he does great work with that, you know, sure. I think what's hurting Jones isn't what he's done this year. I think it's just that he has had Jamal Williams to tag team with, and that his overall touches just don't compare to someone like McCaffrey, who's just getting the ball every other down, it seems, offensively. So I don't think it's for lack of what he's done in his time on the field, but just because he's just not as much as he was featured during the Devontae Adams absence, Jones still isn't as featured as McCaffrey, and thus his numbers probably won't compare. So I think talent-wise, I think we're talking about a top three, top five NFL running back. Does he have the stats yet to measure up? Probably not. But I think it's a good question. I really do. I saw some people kind of dumping on the question, and I think it's a good question. First off, Aaron Rodgers brought it up, okay? So, like, you want to be mad at somebody, be mad at Rodgers. But I think it's worth comparing. It's worth looking at. And at the very least, you can start by doing a side-by-side with McCaffrey and looking at maybe some of the more advanced numbers, like yards after contact, where Jones is the superior player in that regard so far this year. So he's probably not there, but I still think it's a fair thing to talk about because it's not like he's, you know, four tiers below or something. He's in that McCaffrey tier of running backs, just minus the number of total touches, I think.
I think more so than anything, it's probably Aaron Rodgers' way of just saying, one, pay attention to this guy. You know, he's been better than a lot of people have maybe given him credit for. Maybe he's not getting enough of recognition. And so I think it's just Aaron Rodgers. That's where that very subtle, soft-spoken California leadership kind of comes into play, where he's like, hey, you know, maybe this guy should be mentioned. We should start talking about him. It's his way of firing a salvo over the bow of everybody to pay attention to Aaron Jones.
Well, and I would add to that, it's really hard in the NFL when you, like, the old adage, Bill, and you know this very well, it takes a couple years of being good to get noticed enough for the Pro Bowl, and a couple years of being bad enough to be forgotten in terms of the Pro Bowl. So it usually takes guys longer to be added to it than it should. And then once they're on that sort of, like, tier in terms of the way that people think about it, it usually takes them a couple bad years to get off of it. People are always late to adapt and then late to, you know, kind of get rid of a guy in terms of his status. When you are a first-round pick, a top, you know, early first-round pick, like a Christian McCaffrey, like an Ezekiel Elliott, like a Saquon Barkley, you instantly start with credibility and name recognition that Aaron Jones doesn't. And I think that's really important. That I think if Aaron Jones was a first-round pick, I think if Aaron Jones was the 14th overall pick, you know, in the draft 3 years ago, and he was performing like this, he would get a lot more publicity, a lot more credit. But right now he's sort of this, you know, this overperforming fifth-round pick, underdog guy, cute story, blah, blah, blah. If he was a first-round pick, I promise he would be closer in the conversation. But again, it takes most NFL viewers, no matter how dedicated they are to watching the league, it takes them longer than it should, in my opinion, to recognize mid to late round talents who are overperforming and who are performing at a great level, because you just kind of started taking notice of them over the past 2 years. You know, no one was saying in the draft 3 years ago, how many running backs, Bill, do you know how many running backs went before Aaron Jones in the draft in 2017?
Probably four or five, at least, six, ten, I don't know.
16.
See, I was going to say it had to be an upper number. Of quality guys, I don't know, but I know that there was quite a few running backs drafted before him.
16. And that's
his size is what hurt him, and that's the funny thing, is because his size is what's helped him in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, he gets under guys, and he's tougher to bring down because he's elusive. So it's an uphill battle, I think, for Aaron Jones to get that national recognition. But leadership comes in a lot of different ways. And this is the Aaron Rodgers way of leadership. He's not the you-rah-rah pregame speech before games most of the time type of leader, but getting his guys publicity when he has the stage, because Aaron Rodgers is always going to be center stage, using that time to put Aaron Jones' name out there, whether it's, you know, completely valid in comparison to guys like McCaffrey or not, I think is a really good leadership sign. I'm sure Aaron Jones really appreciated it.
Talking with Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst. I'm going to actually take us out of the Packers chatter here momentarily. Workout coming up this weekend. Colin Kaepernick wants NFL teams to come down and take a look at him under one roof. Is there a shot at Colin Kaepernick now that enough time has passed in many people's belief for him to get back into the league? Or do you think he's just been out of the league too long and people are going to go, yeah, nice novelty, but it's just not worth the headache?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I read a lot about this yesterday, and I saw sort of both sides of the argument. And I think one part of it is, first off, this is a very unprecedented thing for the NFL. This is having read the national experts that follow the league as a whole, much more than, you know, you and I, who of course follow the league as a whole, but are sort of Packer-centric. And a lot of what I saw was that, you know, this is an unprecedented thing for the league to do in terms of setting up a sort of a private workout like this. And now, like, will other players ask for that opportunity? And how does this, you know, you kind of open the floodgates now if you're going to start, as a league, helping out individual players to try to get jobs. So that's, I think, an interesting side part of it that I read about yesterday. In terms of what it does, I mean, I don't know, Bill, how NFL teams are going to react to it. I can tell you that if you've seen backup quarterbacks, and in some cases third-string quarterbacks play in the NFL, they're not always very good.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly was not invited to the Colin Kaepernick workout, and you know, and anything like that. So it's not like I've seen the guy throw or seen the guy work out or whatever else. Is it fair to say that he's probably one of the 75 best quarterbacks in the country in the world? He probably still is. Like, if you're looking for, like, a backup QB, like, it, again, I don't know how what he's been doing in the offseason. I don't know what his work looks like or what his film looks like and whatever else. But more than likely, if you watch some of the backup QB play in the league, there's some pretty rough stuff going on. And unless he's completely forgotten how to play quarterback, he's probably, you know, among the 60 to 70 best quarterbacks in the world. You know, if that's the path he chooses to go and if that's the way the NFL teams are willing to give a real look. But a very interesting NFL subplot, of, I suppose, during this Packers bye week is how this workout goes and how teams react to how many of them are going to attend the workout.
Right.
And I did see too, that if you don't go to the workout, they're going to send you the footage of it. So every team is going to see it. And if they do release it publicly, it'll be really interesting to watch. You know, if they do post it for the public, you know, consuming to the consumer public, you know, what it looks like. And I'll tell you what, from a storyline perspective, I'm interested in seeing how he looks. Aren't you?
I am. I got to admit, I'm excited to see what he looks like. But part of me, and I'll say this maybe selfishly, I've been saying all along, look, Colin Kaepernick's act grew old. It wasn't the kneeling. I didn't care about the kneeling, okay? Everybody has a right to do whatever it is they want to do, and then there's repercussions that follow. But when everybody kept saying he needs to be back in the league, quit blackball, look, if he was a really good, if this was Aaron Rodgers taking a knee and making a stance, he'd still have a job because he's got the skills and the hops to do it. Colin Kaepernick was on the backside of a career, and he wasn't playing that good of football when he decided to take a stance, which made it that much more easy to say, you know what, go fade away. Had he been one of the top guys, then I think to myself, okay, you know, chances are he's probably still in the league and still playing if he's playing at a high level because nobody's turning down talent. So let's just say he throws the ball like he's just on fire at these workouts and some team brings him in. I guess the justification will be, well, finally he's back in the league. But if he goes out and performs poorly and doesn't read defenses and still doesn't throw the football very well and doesn't have a touch to it, then it justifies everybody not taking this guy for so long and can say it's not about the political views. It's about the inability to actually play the game at a high level. And nobody wants to have somebody with problematic views or a distraction, I'll say so much, in the locker room that isn't going to be a contributor to your team to begin with. That's where I think a lot of people are getting misguided, that this guy somehow is Aaron Rodgers-esque starter, and they're keeping him out of the league. That's not the case. Nobody wants a backup quarterback that's going to be a distraction to the rest of the guys in the locker room.
Yeah, and I would just say, I wonder, you know, if, let's say he's the backup quarterback somewhere in the league. It's going to be, you know, it would be a week of intense media presence in that locker room, wherever it would be, obviously, right? But I think it would go away then. Like, wouldn't it kind of just be like a one-week thing, and then it would kind of fade? I mean, it wouldn't be like a permanent media presence full-time. What? I mean, this isn't...
You wouldn't assume so.
You assume it would go away?
Yeah, you would assume it would eventually just die out, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it would be 1 week of a lot of, you know, media credential requests, and then, I don't know, it probably would go away, wouldn't it?
You would assume, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm fascinated by the storyline, I'll tell you that, to see how he looks and then to see how NFL teams react to it, because this is the NFL to kind of go out of their way in this situation to set up the workout. I mean, it kind of tells me that they, you know, not that they have a say in it technically, but that they kind of want him back in the league or maybe think he should be back in the league. I'm not sure what the NFL stance is. But again, just to be clear, I don't recall ever, and from what I read yesterday, the writers who I had read hadn't recalled the NFL ever taking this step for an individual player. So fascinating to see where it goes, that's for sure.
No doubt. Paul, good stuff. I appreciate it. We'll talk again later in the week, okay?
All right.
All right, pal. Talk to you later. There you go. That is Paul Emick, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes. Yeah, Colin Kaepernick's going to hold a workout. And on one hand, it's like, hey, go for it. You know what? I think time's passed. And, you know, it, for people that were angry with him, there's always going to be an angst. But look, if the guy still can play, he still can play. The problem has been, and what people don't understand is, you know, because I read a story in Yahoo that he's banned for life. Nobody banned him. There's no official ban out there. I think a lot of GMs look at it this way and say, can he help us? Is the answer yes? If the answer is yes, can he help us and how much? And then how much is it going to mean to a locker room to have every camera be faced on every player saying, do you agree or disagree, or do you want Colin Kaepernick in the locker room? And everybody has to answer those questions, and it becomes a media circus and a distraction to a team getting ready for a football game. You know what I mean? And if you're out of it, other than maybe creating the media circus around your particular team, what are you bringing them in for? If you're a team that is in desperate need of a backup quarterback and you're on your way to the possibility of winning a division or winning a championship, you don't need the distraction. He's in a catch-22. It is what it is. It's a lot easier for many people to say he's being banned than to understand the exact situation. And I think that's a cop-out when you say he's being banned. Okay, I don't think there was a league-wide, you know, memo put out, wink, wink, nod, nod, nobody's taking Colin Kaepernick. I think each individual general manager probably looked at it and said, okay, what's it going to do to me? What's it going to do to my team? What's it going to do to the league? And what kind of an impact is it going to have? And if it's going to be a positive impact and your team's going to get better because of it, and he's got great skills and great hops and he's able to get it done, you take him. Otherwise, what are you doing? 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. You can chime in if you choose to do so. Also, don't forget to our friends at Quick Trip reminding you the Packers opening drive contest. Stop into any Quick Trip location and grab yourself some rib sandwiches today on sale for $1.49. On sale for just $1.49 over there at Quick Trip. Paul Emig is brought to you by the Sprinkler Fitters Local 183, protecting life and property in Wisconsin since 1906. For career opportunities, visit sprinklerfitters183.org. That's sprinklerfitters183.org. More of the Bill Michaels Show is next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Michael Show, we're on the air. Glad you're here. Glad you're here. Oh, boy, a lot of reaction pouring in on a lot of different things. So I want to cover this. Okay? First and foremost, we were talking about Craig Counsell a little bit earlier today. Not getting the manager of the year. So we've covered that. A lot of discussion about the Houston Astros being called cheaters. And the Milwaukee Brewers' name has been brought up in regards to this. Not that I think that the Brewers are they're really not named in this. There hasn't been any real evidence that has been displayed for the Brewers doing something like this, where they've had video evidence that has gone inside the clubhouse, and then as we saw or heard in the video, where the Houston Astros, during a breaking ball or an off-speed pitch, it sounds like you can hear banging coming from the dugout or some area during breaking balls as opposed to fastballs. Then you hear nothing. So that's where the claim is that the Astros were stealing signals electronically. But there has been an accurate, or I should say that at least it's been discussed that the Brewers and the Texas Rangers are also entities like this as well.
According to Jeff Jones, who's a Cardinals beat writer, writes for the Belleville News, he says Houston is one of the three teams that have had multiple players identify to him as the most egregious. And then again, he cites Milwaukee and Texas. So multiple players have come up to him and said, oh yeah, the Brewers were doing this. Robert Murray then tweeted that people within the Brewers organization admitted denying this report, saying one team official, quote, total fabrication and complete BS.
Mm-hmm. So, I've not seen video evidence regarding the Brewers. We have seen what's out there from John Boy. A guy goes by the handle of John Boy on Twitter. And he has put up video evidence that you can clearly hear the banging during particular pitches coming out of the Houston Astros home field. So anyway, long story short, there's been reaction to that. And then in addition to that, I just made some comments regarding Colin Kaepernick, who's going to hold an open workout for teams to come and view him and see what he's got going on. if there would be a team interested in taking taking Colin Kaepernick, and many of you have chimed in there. So anyway, it's kind of wide open at this point. This one is from Sarah, who says, I understand Colin Kaepernick having a cause. I think he spoke up. Sometimes there are ramifications to what it is you say or do. However, I understand what you are saying as well, that had he been Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, he gets away with it. But because he's Colin Kaepernick and he wasn't that great of a quarterback to begin with, he is not finding himself a job. Sometimes what you say and do will rub people the wrong way. It's not even about that, Sarah. And I understand what you're trying to say. Okay, you're trying to defend what I said in some way, shape, or form. It's not about rubbing people the wrong way. If I'm a general manager, now let's say I'm Brian Gutekunst right now, and Aaron Rodgers goes down. I think, what do I have right now in the wings waiting to back up Aaron Rodgers? Okay? Is the guy that I have that's been working in this system, that has been, you know, taught by Matt LaFleur, that understands the concepts, is that the guy that's best right now equipped to run my system? Or could I bring in a guy like Colin Kaepernick, who has not played in a few years, and this holds true all the way through to when he lost his... And let's remember, okay? Let's not make any mistake about this. He opted out of his contract. This is what people tend to forget. He didn't get cut. Nobody cut him. He opted out of his contract and then could not find a job after the fact. And at that point in time, San Francisco wasn't bringing him back because he opted out. Okay? So this wasn't like they cut him because he said something. So then other general managers said, well, first of all, yeah, that was a hot topic, and they probably didn't want that in their locker room. But now as time has gone on, you ask yourself, do you want a backup quarterback, a guy that most likely is not going to see the field anyway, bringing that level of distraction into your locker room if you are a team that is vying for a championship? The answer is absolutely positively not. So then you take it a step further and you say, okay, if I'm a team that is out of it, really doesn't have a legitimate shot at winning a championship, okay? If you don't have it, then what am I bringing this circus into my locker room for? Am I going to suddenly get better at quarterback? Is he going to be my starter going into next year? Most likely not. So why am I doing this? Why am I going to, say, curtail the development of maybe a quarterback that I have waiting in the wings for somebody who probably isn't going to be here next year anyway? That's the reason right now the timing of this is so bizarre. If Colin Kaepernick is going to do this, he should do this the week before, the week after the combine, and let GMs get a good look at him. Maybe he'll get a couple of guys that were either former or current wide receivers to go and catch passes from this guy. You know, go find a couple of guys with 4.3 speed, light them up, do a couple of moves at the line of scrimmage, and drop some passes into the breadbasket. You know, have a guy do a 7-yard dig route to where he's going to turn around and the ball is already right there, face high. All he's got to do is put his hands out and get it. Okay? Same thing? That's what I would do. I just don't think that Colin Kaepernick right now is going about this the right way. And, you know, the fact that he has been outspoken on other things and he's kind of made himself in some areas a pariah, I don't think that helps his cause. But if I'm a desperate general manager and he's got the ability to play, I'm not passing over him. You know, if you have, say you're New England, and Tom Brady goes down, your backup goes down, and you're down to a guy that you just need somebody to be able to run your offense and maybe move around a little bit, you may go after him. God knows Bill Belichick's not afraid of controversy, right? He's taken other people's cast-offs. So he would not be adverse to taking a guy like Kaepernick if indeed he could help him, and if indeed Colin Kaepernick would be able to take that team to the promised land. That's what he's looking for. Bill doesn't give a damn about anything else but wins. He's taken just about every problem child out there, and he'll find out real quick, are you with me or you're not? Because if you're not, I'm going to cut you. And that's what he does. And if you're good and you're on the same page with them, you're going to have a long career, at least while he wants you around. And the minute you don't, you're expendable. So that's kind of where this is. That's why the timing of this, quote, workout is so bizarre. Unless, of course, you're laying the groundwork for next year. Well, who knows what happens after that. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends over there at the Lodge Kohler. No Lodge Kohler kickoff this week, by the way. It'll get back to it next week, and Aaron Jones will be our live in-person guest at Lodge Kohler. So looking forward to that as well. We'll take some of your phone calls and thoughts, tweets, emails, all that kind of good stuff. Coming up next on the Bill Michael Show.
The Packers may have a bye this week, but the Fan doesn't. Keep it here to talk all things Packers. Expert analysis and complete coverage of your Green Bay Packers. AM 1250 and 105.7 FM, The Fan.
The Bill Michaels Show. Covering a lot today. We've gotten into many different topics. One that I found particularly interesting, and this comes to me, it was an interesting article I was reading earlier today, and it is also something that's problematic. It's out of the NJ, NewJersey.com, covering True Jersey, but sent to me by our friends over at WNFL in Green Bay. About a coach, and I want to get into this at some point, probably later in the week or maybe one of those days when we got a little bit less going on. But it's about a coach. I don't know if you've seen this story. It's been around for a while. About a third base coach for a baseball team, a high school baseball team. It's a bang-bang play at third base. Coach tells the kid to slide. The kid slides and unfortunately, you know, gets a spike caught in the dirt and breaks an ankle. And when he did that, he had additional problems with the ankle. The bone didn't heal right. There was some possibility of amputation. They had to do stem cell replacement to try to get this ankle to heal. And eventually it did, but it healed and basically ruined the career of this kid. Well, his parents decided to sue the coach and the school district and the baseball organization and everything for negligence, because they feel that the coach told him to slide too late. And it's almost a ridiculous concept. It really is. But eventually the verdict came back and they found the coach not guilty of any wrongdoing. But it was a 7-1 vote out of 8 people that heard that on the panel jury that heard this. And the problem is that for one, this is a ridiculous. If there was something completely egregious, if the coach hit the kid or something, I understand lawsuits. This is the play of the game, instantaneous thinking. You know, I mean, how many times has a coach told a player to slide, even when maybe they didn't technically have to, but just to get them down so they avoid contact from another player or a collision or something, or getting struck by a baseball or whatever. Anyway, my point being is, we become far too litigious, and it's beyond comprehension to me that anything that goes wrong, it is never, ever your fault. It's always somebody else's. It's never an accident. It's never something that's not meant to be. We just have to blame somebody, anybody other than yourself. Other than just fate and circumstance or happenstance, there has to be somebody that has to make money somewhere. It's effing ridiculous. But it's also a reason that you cannot find coaches to coach our youth today. Between the parents that live vicariously through their kids that think they're coaches themselves, who don't want any part of coaching but want to coach from the sideline, to screaming idiots, to the sniping between parents and complaining about other teams and players and all the stuff that goes on with it. It's, look, my stepson, our son plays soccer, and you go and listen to some of the parents. I'm not talking about our team. I'm just talking about in general, okay? Nobody specific here. But you listen to some of this. I've been at tournaments where you're talking about 10-year-old kids and the parents and what they're yelling and what they're sniping about and what they're complaining about and their frustration level and their anger level and their anger management. It's ridiculous. And you just want to walk over to somebody and go, just shut up. I think at this point in time, to be honest with you, short of being able to watch your child, every parent should watch their kid play behind glass and away from the field. Just watch it from behind glass and away from the field. You can cheer, something like that, and maybe you hear an echo behind the glass way far away. but it's gotten so bad where parents shouldn't be allowed around it anymore. It should be about the kids wanting to play, maybe get better, and have fun and enjoy themselves. This is not about parents screaming and yelling about championships and medals. And, you know, for a participation society, we've gone far too overboard. Far too overboard. Just completely ridiculous, in my opinion. It almost makes you just not want to go. Makes you kind of sick, to be honest with you. But there's a lot going on. So we were talking about the Brewers manager, Craig Counsell, not winning manager of the year, and even, you know, on some ballots, not even being mentioned, which I found completely ridiculous, to this particular story. Colin Kaepernick now wanting to hold a workout for other teams for him to get a shot at a job in the NFL again. You've got Evansville knocking off the number one team in the country in the Kentucky Wildcats. You've got a little bit of a shakeup in the bowl championship, you know, rankings. Ohio State gets knocked out of number one after putting a 70-plus up on Maryland. They got knocked out because LSU went into Tuscaloosa, and they knocked off Alabama. So LSU goes to number one, and I can't hardly blame them. Ohio State number two. Alabama's outside of the top four, which I find somewhat satisfying. So there's a lot going on in the world of sports, opening it wide open right now. Let's go to Bob listening to us in Waterford. Bob, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show. What's going on, man?
Hey, how you doing today, bud?
Doing well, pal. What's on your mind?
I was calling about the Kaepernick thing. I totally agree with the conversation about the locker room impacts and everything like that, mm-hmm. and the timing being poor. My question is, I thought I heard yesterday that it wasn't Kaepernick's decision to set this up at this time. I thought he was approached from the league, that the league actually set up the timing and told him, yes, do it now, or no, don't do it at all. Because the timing is absolutely horrible. NFL teams are playing. Their guys are out of town this weekend. College teams are playing. All the scouting people are there. No one's going to be paying attention to this workout. So, but I thought it was not his decision to do it at this time. Is that true, or was that something I misheard?
That's a great question. I don't know specifically. I'm going to have to find out. I thought it was something that was okayed by the league, and the NFL invited teams to see the workout, but he had to get it. I thought it was his people. I thought it was a private NFL workout that his people set up, and then the NFL, they went to the NFL and said, can you invite the coaches and or scouts to come and see him? And I thought the NFL did that. But I don't know if it's the league setting this up or the league just agreeing to it. So I would have to read a little bit more, to be honest with you. I don't want to misspeak, because, hey, if it's the league doing it, then it's probably just a big sham to try to say, okay, we're doing everything we can to get him back into the game. But if it's him doing it, maybe it's just the timing, and then they had to go to the league to get permission. I honestly couldn't tell you.
All right, cool, thanks.
Okay. Colin Kaepernick, okay, let me go back here, because I'm doing this while we're speaking. He says, I'm just getting word from the NFL from my representatives that the NFL league office reached out to them about a workout in Atlanta on Saturday. I've been in shape and ready for this for 3 years. Can't wait to see the head coaches and GMs on Saturday. So apparently, he's been working out for a tryout, but the NFL, he says, as Colin Kaepernick put it on his Twitter account, that the, quote, NFL league office reached out to them about a workout in Atlanta on Saturday. Given the logistics of how the workout and the backstory behind it, it works, however, reason to wonder how genuine an opportunity this is going to be, right? Kaepernick noted in his tweet he only learned of the workout proposal on Tuesday, according to a source familiar with the process, telling that the league had no prior communication with Kaepernick or his representatives before floating the workout plan on Tuesday. ESPN reported that the league rejected a request to move the workout to a different day. When notified, the quarterback's reps asked for the workout to be on a Tuesday, which typically is when all NFL workouts take place, since head coaches and general managers can more easily attend. This Saturday, almost half of the NFL teams were going to be traveling to games, and most of the rest of the coaches and players are going to be heading to their team hotels to get ready for the games the next day. So how many coaches and scouts and such legitimately are going to be there? The NFL, like I said, declined to move the request to a different workout date. Kaepernick was given 2 hours to respond to the offer, at which point the quarterback accepted the NFL's terms. The league did accede to one request from Kaepernick's camp, the source said, agreeing to provide a list of general managers, coaches, and key personnel who would be attending the workout. The league agreed to provide that list on a rolling basis starting today. ESPN further reported that none of the 32 teams had been made aware of the workout prior to the memo being sent from the league office, and that the league office refused to tell Kaepernick's representative if any team had requested the workout specifically. So anyway, long story short, it comes about a month or two after Kaepernick's people released that two-page statement, including a quarterback that was ready to play. He said, I've reached out to all 32 teams about Collins' employment, with little to no response from teams about an opportunity. That's according to his agent, by the way, Jeff Nally, saying in a release, in 25 years, I've never seen anything like this. Remember when we read that a couple weeks ago? A couple months ago, actually. So anyway, it sounds like Colin Kaepernick's camp put the league in a bad light. The league is trying to make up for this in some way. This is a bad, bad thing. If the league put this thing together the way this is specifically being written and the way I'm understanding this, I thought it was Kaepernick's people that put it together that was okayed by the league, but then the league turned around and said, okay, you got to do it on Saturday. And Kaepernick's people were like, wait a minute, we're putting this together. We want to do it on a Tuesday. And they said, nope, Saturday or that's it. So, interesting. I sounds like the NFL's lack of flexibility on the terms of the workout and the last-minute nature of the move raises the question that this just being a publicity stunt to say, well, see what we did. And again, no official word that he's been, quote, banned from the league, but the NFL has not bent over backwards by any stretch of the imagination to make him available, you know? You can't help but think of the good old boy network that does run through the NFL, wink, wink, nod, nod, to where maybe it's one of those things where it might be in your best interest not to give Colin Kaepernick an opportunity. Certainly there have been other players that have protested. There's been other players that have done more egregious things, but Colin Kaepernick is the one that brought the mass quantity of, we'll say, negative light, at least according to the NFL, to the Shield. So maybe they were just making an example out of him to say, doesn't, you know, hey, everybody else out there, if you're thinking about doing something that's going to bring this kind of adversity and negativity to the NFL, you may not want to do it. But again, I go back to Colin Kaepernick decided to opt out of his contract, which is the toughest pill to swallow because he never found a job after the fact. 855-830-8648. Give us a shout. You want to do so. Final segment of the Bill Michael Show coming up next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michael Sports Talk Network.
Program. A few minutes before we have to get out of here, this portion of the program being brought to you by our friends over at Robert Hack Diamonds. Don't forget, stop in. They pay the most cash for your gold at Robert Hack Diamonds. Two locations, Green Tree Road in Port Washington. Also in Greenfield, 76th and Layton, right there on the corner. Hey, another great place that we've talked about time and again, our friends over at the Social House on Lisbon, right there in Menominee Falls. Boy, oh boy, I tell you what, a lot of people are discovering this since we started talking about it. It's great for watching any sporting event in a great atmosphere, but the food, the highly acclaimed cheese curd burglar, Look out, he's coming for your curds. The cheese curd burger is fantastic. It's off the hook. So stop out to the Social House, say hi to Dan and the whole staff out there. Get this, by the way, I keep mentioning this, on Sunday mornings, you go in there, and if it's Sunday, you just want to catch some football, go in there and buy a cocktail, and you get free pancakes on Sunday morning. That's awesome. Free pancakes on Sunday mornings when you buy a drink. So good stuff from the Social House. HAUS, by the way, on Lisbon Road in Menominee Falls. So just wrapping a few things up before we get out of here. Let's see here. We've got this one's from Jacob. Jacob writes, I think Colin Kaepernick deserves a shot. I think what they're doing, to him, I think he's talking about the NFL, is wrong. But if he comes out and truly shines, you know he's going to find a job. We don't care about people that do anything illegal as long as they can score touchdowns on Sunday. We are hypocrites as fans, but we know where our bread is buttered. There you go. 855-830-8648. Chico, listening to us in Eau Claire. Bill, right on. I have a friend who, when his daughter was playing youth soccer, and some of the players' parents would get out of line with regard to berating refs, coaches, etc., he would hand out Tootsie Pops for them to suck on. This keeps them a bit quieter. Well, if it's, you know, good suckers or something like that, I might just start screaming and yelling so somebody hands me a free sucker. There you have it. Jimmy writes, no way in hell Craig Counsell should not have been manager of the year. He was robbed once again. What do you think he has to do next year to win the award? Look, I'm not worried about the it makes you mad when you can see the work being put in and you can see beginning to the end of the effort, okay? Because you know what the process is, and we pay attention to it up close and personal all the time. What concerns me, and really, you know, Craig Counsell said the right thing, that you just want to hoist a World Series trophy. That's what you want. Everything else kind of falls into place. There's a lot of great managers that have won World Series but never won a Manager of the Year, and I tell you what, I'd rather see them wearing the ring than having the moniker of Manager of the Year on their resume. Because everybody knows how good you are. It's nice to be recognized, but it's nice to be more recognized by your peers rather than those who are paid to judge you, if that makes sense. So there you go. You know what? That's going to do it. We're going to come back at it tomorrow. Tomorrow, we got a good one. We're going to look around the NFC North. Dan Miller, the voice of the Lions, is going to be here. Mark Grody, sideline reporter for the Chicago Bears, is going to join us. And Phil Mackey for the Score North. Going to be covering the Minnesota Vikings. We'll talk with him about his team as well. Plus, we have some fantasy football tomorrow. A lot more to get into. Until then, time for us to go. Have a go.
Wisconsin Wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.